Good morning. Welcome to worship on this day. We are glad that each and every one of you are here. You will find a blue notepad at the end of your pew, probably tucked inside the hymn rack with your hymnal. We would love for you to take this and pass it down and sign it as it comes by. If you are a guest with us, we'd especially like to welcome you this morning. And in that notepad, you will find an information card. We would love for you to take that, fill it out, and place it in our offering plate when it is passed later. This will give us a record of your visit, but more importantly, allow us to send you some information about our church so that you can get to know us better. This morning, we have some word from Jerry Childs, who will share with us about a recent mission trip.
Good morning. The Missions Committee would like to thank the Forest Hills community for their support of disaster relief in Lumberton, North Carolina. This past Friday and Saturday, 11 members of this body hung insulation and sheetrock, which will help a family soon return to their home. This is the second trip that we've taken to Lumberton, and in the second week of June, we will join with the youth of our church in going on another trip to Lumberton. Now, those who participated this week, let me quickly give you their names. Carl Dawson, Scott Nazer, Bill Baxley, Johnny Glover, Mike Newton, Steve Wheeler, Tony Cox, Kim Craig, Katie Craig, and Sam Craig. Now, thank you again for your interest in all that we're doing there. If you would like more information, feel free to contact me or the Missions Committee. There's lots of work to be done, and a lot of folks are needed to do the work. Thank you.
Let us enter into worship this morning with these words from the 31st Psalm. I take refuge in you, Lord. Please never let me be put to shame. Rescue me by your righteousness. Listen closely to me. Deliver me quickly. Be a rock that protects me. Be a strong fortress that saves me. You are definitely my rock and my fortress. Guide me and lead me for the sake of your good name. Get me out of this net that's been set before me, because you are my protective fortress. I entrust my spirit into your hands. You, Lord, God of faithfulness, you have saved me. My future is in your hands. Don't hand me over to my enemies, to all who are out to get me. Shine your face on your servant. Save me by your faithful love. Let us worship together.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God.
Good morning. I'm glad to see all of you here this morning. Earlier, I read a scripture from the Psalms, and it said that God is like our rock. So do you think rocks are strong or are they weak? Strong, right? Right, you can't break it, right? So it says that God is like our rock, our refuge, our strength. And in a little while, you're going to hear Pastor Amanda read a scripture that says that Christ is a living stone, that Christ is our cornerstone, and that we are like living stones. Because of the stones, you know you are right. There are stones all over our church. And the reason that there are stones all over our church is because of the scripture that Pastor Amanda is going to read for us. And when it talks about us being living stones, now when a builder builds a building or a house and is using stones to do it, if the stone isn't the right size or the right shape and doesn't fit just right, usually the builder throws it out, throws it away, gets rid of it. They don't need it. But when we are living stones for God, all of the stones are important. There's none in a trash pile because all of us are important. We're all different. Just like if you look at all those stones over there, none of them are exactly the same. Every single one of them are different, right? And it looks like our church is made up of those hard, strong stones, right? Yeah, it's actually made up of people. And so every time somebody joins our church, we read that we are a church of living stones. Do we put a new rock on? We don't have to put a new rock on. But I'm going to give you a rock that has a magnet on the back, and you can take it, and you can put it on your refrigerator or somewhere special at home, and it can remind you that God is our rock and our strong fortress, and it can remind you that you are a living stone, that you are important to God, and that you help make up God's kingdom, and that you can teach others about God's love because you are a living stone. So take that home with you. All right. Can you say a prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for being our rock, our refuge, our strength. Remind us that we are indeed living stones and that your family and your kingdom is made of us, that you love each and every one of us, and all of us have a place in your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray together. Creator God, maker of heaven and of earth, we affirm our faith to you this morning, lifting our voices in praise. While we know that you have claimed each of us as your own beautiful child, we affirm that we are also one community of faith brought together by you and called to share your love in this neighborhood. We are also joined to all who call Jesus Lord by the Holy Spirit. And we pray for all communities who worship you this morning, that they may continue to be drawn closer to your presence. We pray for Christians of all denominations. Help us to be an encouragement to one another rather than competition. For regardless of denomination or worship practices, we all call Jesus the Christ our Lord. It is you, Lord, who is from the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. It is you who came to dwell among us, and it is you who claimed victory over death when you rose on the third day. We are in awe of your majesty, and we are blessed that you are our Lord. We remember on this day the Virgin Mary, who was faithful in giving birth to our Lord Jesus. We are grateful for a God who works through women such as Mary, so that God's name might be praised. And on this day, as we honor our mothers, let us remember that you, God, nurture and protect us. You who provided food to the Israelites each morning while they were in the wilderness, reminding them that you would always care for them and provide for them. We pray that you would provide for each of us again on this day, that we would feel the grace of your presence in all that we do. Gracious Lord, we acknowledge that this day is a celebration for some. It is a day filled with laughter and family. It is a day to be grateful for the blessing of having a mother and the blessing of being a mother. But for others, it is a day filled with grief. We pray this morning for those who do not know a mother. May you draw ever closer to them. We pray for those who are currently experiencing conflict and tension with their mother. May there be forgiveness and reconciliation for all. And we also remember those who struggle with infertility, those that are unable to be the mothers that they desire to be. May this day be a reminder that nothing can separate them from you nor your love. And for those who have experienced miscarriage, we pray that you would comfort them in these difficult moments, both today, but also for months and years to come. We are mindful that this day may bring a reminder of grief for those who might have lost a child. We are in need of the new mercies you have promised us on each morning, but particularly this morning. Jesus, we confess today is a difficult day to remember your love for us, especially when we are reminded of such tragedy and heartache. We bring our sadness to you this morning, worshiping and praising the God who welcomes us with open arms in both our joy and our sadness, and the one in whose holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. May we pray. We come to you, Lord, the living stone, chosen by God as precious. We come with thankful hearts for you nurturing us as your chosen, precious people, just as a mother and father nurture their precious children. Also, we come asking that these offerings of our spiritual and material gifts be acceptable to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God.
They were gathering together in the ball field to play some baseball. It was a day about like today, a little cool, but the sun breaking through, so everyone wanted to get outside. So the children began to gather. When it looked like there were enough for two teams, two people appointed themselves captains and began to choose the players for the teams. They did this the way kids have been choosing players for generations. The team captains took turns looking at the others and choosing one player at a time. The first players chosen were the ones that everyone knew about. They had played on this same field many times before. There was no question they were the best hitters or pitchers or fielders. The next set of people chosen were known for the possibilities of being good baseball players. No one had actually seen them play baseball, but they played in other sports and had been around the neighborhood long enough for people to know what to expect. Finally, there were the others. They were either known to be terrible players who made awful errors or were new and unknown. On this particular day, in this particular park, the last person chosen for the team was a new kid in the area. He was short, he was skinny, and his hair was messed up like he had just gotten out of bed. His clothes were a little messed up too. They didn't look clean, but at the same time, they didn't have the stains of grass or mud to suggest that they were dirty. Maybe he just slept it. "Okay, you're on my team. You'll play right field. Thanks. By the way, what's your name?" "Morris. Morris Langford." As the game progressed, the time came for Morris to bat. No one had hit a ball to right field, so there was no way of knowing how well he played the game. But he had a funny way of running on and off the field, so the team captain began to worry about Morris's at bat. Meanwhile, in the dugout, the kids began to learn more about Morris. Some from talking to him, but mostly from talking to each other about him. He lived in a car. His dad was out of work. His mom wasn't making enough money to pay rent, so they lived in the car. His parents dropped him off at the park when they went looking for work. The more the kids learned, the more uncomfortable they became around Morris. Instead of becoming friendlier, they began to speak to him less and less. He was just too different. He just didn't fit. They figured out pretty quickly that when the game was over, Morris would still be in the park waiting for his parents while everyone else went home to eat dinner. And no one would mention Morris to their parents. They all knew their parents well enough to know what they'd say. "I don't want you playing with those kinds of kids." There are kids like Morris everywhere. Some are older, some are younger. Some rotate through group or foster homes. Some end up living with relatives. Sometimes there are parents, but often the children are parenting themselves, and even the adults who live with them. These kids bounce around and no one really notices. They are cast-offs from society with no purpose, no direction, no home. Every once in a while, I'll see a pile of rocks or stones. I don't always know the story, but often it looks like a farmer or gardener was preparing some land for planting and found the stones in the way. Stones get thrown into a pile while the task at hand is accomplished. Now, who of us hasn't worked in yards or fields that had lots of rocks? I don't know exactly where they come from, but I know they're there. They seem to grow in the ground. Strange as it sounds, they almost seem to float to the surface of the soil from deep within the earth. However they got there, I know there is a better place for them. The task seems to be finding a good use for these stones so they don't end up in just a pile in the corner of your backyard. Some places I've been, they're used to make a fence or a corner post for a barbed wire fence. And then there are the stone houses and barns that must have been made from these same rocks that were in the fields. I suppose there are hundreds, if not thousands of them still standing, but I only know of a few. Whenever I see one, I'm captivated by it. I remember one field trip we took in elementary school where there was one such old stone house. It was made with the kind of regular rocks you'd find in the field, the rocks that are smooth and rounded, the rocks that surround us in this sanctuary. What I marvel about is how anyone ever thought to take stones like those and build something with them. They are so irregular in shape and size. They don't seem to stack very well. They seem to cry out for independence and isolation rather than being put together and made into a wall or building. Now, brick, I could see using that, or even hewn stones that have smooth sides, or the more modern variation of that, concrete blocks, right? These all make sense. Could be used to build anything, from a fence to a wall to a home to an office or even a church. It would take too much work to make a wall out of odd stones of various shapes and sizes, especially when they're rounded by the effects of time. These oddly rounded stones are the ones the builders reject. But God has chosen them. They're not perfect. They don't match up well. They are precarious when stacked together to form a wall. It's almost certain to fall down, but still God has chosen them. Peter, whose name means rock, was called by Jesus to be the foundation of the church. Not a physical building, but a spiritual building. If ever there was a stone that other builders would reject, it was Peter. Speak first, think later, Peter. How can the church be built upon the life of a man who would deny Jesus? As a building block, Peter was too rounded, too irregular to be used in the foundation. Certainly there was someone more dependable, more reliable, more credible. But God chose Peter, a stone that others would reject. In our text for today, Peter reminds us that Jesus was the first stone rejected by the world's builders. Jesus didn't fit the ideal either. He didn't seek political office. He didn't seek positions of power in the military. He didn't encourage his followers to overthrow the Roman government nor the temple priests. What he did wasn't expected. So he was discarded. Discarded just like Peter. Discarded just like Morris. There were other uses for these stones that God rejected. They could have been left in a pile. They could have been used as weapons of war. They could have been used to punish a wrongdoer. There are several places where stones and rocks are mentioned in Scripture, over 200, in fact. Rocks are used to build things. Stones are used to punish people. They are also used as metaphors for God, symbols of God's presence and protection. Jesus, as the cornerstone, has more in common with stones used to build than with stones used to destroy. I think it was intentional that God didn't send Jesus to be a stone that would be hurled against another human being as a way of inflicting judgment, though we often see Jesus' followers trying to use him that way. If that were the case, none of us would stand a chance. Not a one of us could stand up to the standard set by God for life. Not a one of us can say we're free from sin. We've all denied God at some point in our lives. We've all turned our back on people in need. We have all made monuments and buildings, be they literal or metaphorical. We have all made them more important than people and relationships. And that's why, when I think about it, I'm glad that Jesus came as a stone used for building rather than for inflicting punishment. We deserve the punishment, but instead, God offers the gift of grace. Peter says we are invited to be one of the living stones in this new building, this new temple, this new creation of God's that we call the church. You and I. Jesus is the cornerstone. Peter is part of the foundation, and we are called to be a part of that building too. And lest we think we are not good enough, lest we think we are too irregularly shaped, lest we think there is no place for us in this building, Peter reminds us that we do have a place. None of us is perfect. We are more like Peter than Jesus, yet there is a place for each of us. In 1957, some Buddhist monks in Thailand had to relocate a large clay statue of Buddha. A highway was about to be built straight through the center of their temple. However, when the crane began to lift the huge statue, there was a loud crack, and at the same time, it began to rain. The head monk, afraid that the Buddha would be permanently damaged, decided to lower the statue to the ground and cover it with a huge tarp. Later that evening, the monk went to make sure the Buddha was still dry. When he lifted up the tarp and directed his flashlight toward the idol, a gleam caught his eye. Curious, the monk fetched a chisel and hammer and began to tap away at the clay. What he discovered after hours of delicate work was amazing. There before him was a solid gold Buddha over 10 feet tall, weighing 2.5 tons. After some research, the monk discovered that centuries before, when an enemy army was about to attack the country, the ancient monks had coated the golden Buddha with clay so that it would not be destroyed or plundered. Because all the ancient monks had been killed by the invading army, nobody had discovered their secret until hundreds of years later. The good news that the Christian gospel proclaims with delight and certainty is that each one of us is like that golden Buddha. There is within us a gleaming image of God, a golden essence that is eternal and indestructible. Our problem is that over the years, the clay and dust and muck of life has layered us with disguises, hiding our light and tarnishing our beauty from ourselves and from others. For some of us, the clay that is hiding our gold consists of childhood messages of judgment or shame or inadequacy. For others, it is the stress of the corporate world that has tarnished the sheen of our own self-worth. For others, it's the anonymity of government bureaucracy that's obscured our ambition and our creativity and our initiative. And still for others, it has been failed relationships or broken trust, shattered dreams or physical pain that has buried the spark of God within us. This scripture lesson from 1 Peter is written to a fledgling group of Gentile Christians somewhere in Asia Minor, close to 60 years after Christ's death and resurrection. Sociologists have determined that these folks were outsiders in the community where they lived, foreigners, aliens, laborers, the poor, those whom the powerful of society used in order to maintain the status quo. As a religious minority, they were ridiculed and harassed by the majority around them. And yet it is to these people, those with little affirmation from the world around them, that God gives the ultimate affirmation. You are holy. You are precious. You are chosen. You are called. You are, in the eyes of God, important, significant, and necessary people. And it is through the Christ in you that you have become the building blocks of the new creation. Though you seem irregularly shaped, you are stones chosen by God for this good work. The voice of God even goes one step further. Not only are these people given a self, they are also given a place to belong, to feel safe, to be nurtured, to grow, to become whole. These homeless people are given a home, the household of God, the Christian community where identity and acceptance are found. It is the same home that is given to us. In this household of God, strangers as well as friends are more than welcome. All of us are invited to join in the household rituals of bathing and eating, baptism and communion. For it is through baptism that we are incorporated into Christ and it is through communion that Christ is incorporated into us. Those who helped shape Greystone in our early years understood this. That's why these verses from 1 Peter 2 are part of Greystone's mission statement. With Christ as the cornerstone, we will build a church of living stones where every member is a minister and is equipped to express God's love by word and deed to all people. We say those words every time someone joins the church at the end of our service to remind ourselves of this gift and this calling from God. Now, it cannot be ignored that you as a congregation are about to enter into a period of uncertainty. You may be feeling something a little like the anxiety of those early followers. And you're not alone. Society has undergone sweeping changes over the last few decades, and these changes are affecting the church. You are a church, though, not a sect. So that means you don't hold yourselves apart from the world. But you try to serve Christ faithfully in the course of social, civic, and professional relationships. You try to keep your fingers on the pulse of the world around you, because understanding and engaging with this world will help you carry out your mission. As you try to stay faithful to this mission and search for Greystone's next pastor, there will be changes. There will be upheavals to come. There will be anxiety and uncertainty. The church of 2030 or 2040 may look completely different from the church you grew up in, just as the Greystone of 2017 already looks different from the church of 1983. But the church will endure. It will endure because it is Christ's church. Christ has given you a place, the church, a place where you can serve God and each other, a place where you can give and receive love, forgive and be forgiven, ask questions and struggle to find answers, fall down and get up again. And when your days on earth are done, a place where you can die in peace. There is a place for you in the heart of God, now and forever, on earth as it is in heaven. While it might be tempting to stay in a farmer's field or in the dirt of the garden, remember that you have been called to this place and this time to be something different. You are invited to leave your past behind and join in becoming the church, not just a pile of stones at the edge of a field, but a useful and meaningful community of faith with a sense of direction and purpose, as well as a place for every person to be included. God calls us from our past lives into a new way of living. God calls us to shed our former images of ourselves and begin to see each other as God sees us. This is a gift of grace, to be called in from the fields, to be called from exile into the presence of God. When it came time for little Morris to bat, there was real concern for his team. They were behind, there was a runner on second, and while there was only one out, a pop-up would almost certainly cost them the game. With some reluctance, the team captain let Morris bat. He was a stone that could have been rejected, but he had a place on the team, and so do you. Amen.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in? Will you care for cruel and kind and never
Peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Will you please turn and share the peace of Christ with those around you? Thank you for worshiping with us. It's getting rowdy, right? Thank you for worshiping with us. Y'all could just be seated for just a second. It's a rowdy group. Stop fellowshipping. Kidding. Just a couple of announcements, and then Becky will come up with a final one. You can sign up for the music camp this summer. There's a table right outside the doors of the sanctuary. Should be a fun time for our children. I believe it's in July. I don't remember the exact date, but you can get all that information out there. Sign your kids up. It'll be a fun week of creativity and worship and arts, all of that good stuff. This Wednesday is our last Wednesday night live of the season. So come, eat some good chicken parmesan, enjoy some trivia. That's how we traditionally end the Wednesday night, so we'll have our trivia contest. We'll see who's going to win the big prizes this year, right? All right, Becky.
Who likes pie? Anybody? Oh, surely more than that. Well, I like pie. And I can tell you somebody else who likes pie, too. Our dear Sean Allen is a true pie guy. So when the mixed feeling task came of planning a reception to honor Sean and his family as they embark in the new part of their life of ministry, it was discussed, well, what would Sean like? And the people who knew him best had a fast answer: pie and ice cream. At least the pie part. We'll find out about the ice cream. Next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock in our fellowship hall, please come. Bring your families, bring any who have been a part of Greystone's life anywhere along the way. And it would be a nice idea if you bring a pie too. Now, I know it says a homemade pie, but remember, pies are made somewhere. So wherever that pie is made, it's great, just bring it. And we would love to have you here. There'll be some lighthearted entertainment and time for us to be together as a church family to celebrate this special family who's been among us for 6 years. We want you there. So be sure and show up. If you can bring a pie, great. And if you're having one of those days that you just can't grab that pie, come on anyway. There'll be plenty. See you next Sunday evening.
I do like pie. Well, let's stand and close our service. You are sons and daughters of the Creator, brothers and sisters of the Redeemer, and the grace and peace and justice of the Sustainer is loosed in the world through you. Amen.